93.5, 95.3. It is the new Connect FM, and we are the Tay and Jay Show. Lon Tay and Jeremy Warner. Not Warner, like Kurt Warner. I haven't done that in so long.
Yeah, it's W-E-R.
My mom said, why do you keep doing that to him? People know it's Warner. I'm like, I don't know, I just like doing that. But we're talking football, so I thought I'd bring up Kurt Warner, who's no longer with my Cardinals. But we're going to bring in Ed. No, Eric, I knew I'd say that. Eric, I say this 100 times. I keep wanting to call you Ed because it's Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly. Eric, how are you?
If it makes you feel any better, my nickname throughout college and high school was Ed. So I didn't even blink when you said it.
Maybe we knew each other. We probably had a couple beers or something. Didn't even
shot some free throws or whatever.
Eric, we were just talking about it. 2 weeks from tomorrow is the NFL draft, and it's weird because it feels like it's sneaking up on us because of all this labor talk. It seems like the NFL draft's on the back burner.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's funny because most of the time by this year, I'm ready to slit my wrists with my draft guy because I've gone through it so much and answered so many questions. I literally have nothing else to say on the matter. But you're right. I mean, this year fewer calls from folks such as yourself. You know, just less interest I think from fans. Everybody's saying, you know, look, there's been no free agency yet. We don't, you know, we think teams might reach for needs, and you know, it's kind of a strange draft class, heavy in certain positions and light in others. And I haven't felt the buzz, not like last year or previous years.
So Eric, what's the latest with the lockout? I know the mediation, the judge talking about mediation, where forced mediation between the players and the owners. Is anything going to come of that, do you think?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, both sides have now met with Judge Arthur Boylan, who was the appointed mediator up in Susan Nelson's court in Minnesota. The NFL's turn was today, and then the players met with him on yesterday. And all three sides, the judge and the NFL and the players, will sit down tomorrow. And there are going to be some big names in the room. You know, obviously, having DeMaurice Smith as a part of the session is good. Having some of the players there as well. John Mara, the Giants owner, will not be there, still stuck in jury duty. But a lot of the big decision makers will be there. The problem is I think they've lost so much momentum since March 11th when this thing started that it's going to be really hard to get back to that place. We're not going to just pick up where we left off. And most people seem to feel that there's really kind of little optimism. This is just sort of a thing to do while Judge Nelson rules on the injunction.
Hmm. Now, Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly. I mean, Eric, I am going to respect your opinion more than most people here because that's what you do is cover pro football. So your gut reaction to this, I mean, am I going to be able to watch football this year?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still optimistic about that. I think it depends on what you're willing to give up. I mean, if people, you know, if you say, hey, we can have this thing figured out, there's going to be two preseason games and a couple of weeks of camp and, you know, all this stuff and, you know, a shortened training camp or no training camp at all, would you still do it? Yeah, you would. But I think the quality of play may suffer if that's the case. Mm-hmm. I think there's too much training camp, too much OTA, too much mini camp in general, but having not enough could also hurt too. And I do think it's going to have an effect this season. There are going to be some players who don't adhere to their weight program, don't adhere to their conditioning. So I think we're going to play 16 regular season games. That's my gut feeling. People on both sides have said, look, we're going to get it. It's not going to get to that point. But right now it's just so murky, it's hard to really read the tea leaves.
Here. Exactly. And Eric, I know we're going to get to the draft here in a minute, but, you know, here in a second, obviously. Obviously that continues, but the whole free agency, I mean, if you're a free agent right now, you're just out in limbo, right? You're just sitting there trying to figure out what's going to happen.
Yeah, and this is the crux of the players' argument in this injunction. They're saying, look, there are 800 players right now whose status is unknown, who are unsigned currently, whether it's fourth, fifth, sixth, or beyond year guys. You know, they're sitting there not knowing what their status is. Obviously, the sixth, seventh, and eighth guys and beyond, they know they're going to be unrestricted. But when? I mean, will it be right after the draft? Will it be, you know, we've got to wait for decisions to happen in court. And as we know, the court system can move snail slow at times. So, I mean, it's really frustrating. I know the agents are frustrated. They're counting so much on their draft picks to bring in a haul, but they can't even sign their players yet. So it's, you know, everything right now is just caught in a game of freeze tag, and nobody's winning right now.
Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly joining us. And, Eric, we're looking for something to talk about with the NFL just to get us away from this lockout kind of business. And we had the preseason schedule come out, even if we don't play any of those games. I mean, we might not. But the one that intrigued me, Bears and Buccaneers, regular season, going to play in London. What do you think of that game, the NFL really trying to globalize?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Roger Goodell's talked about multiple games in London in the future. You know, they've talked about regular season games in Japan, Mexico, things like this. So, I mean, they've done the Mexico thing before. It's worked pretty well. The London game has been supremely popular. You know, they've tried to work out a system where teams, you know, give up one home game, one away game, and over a 16-year period. And, you know, so far it's worked. The Bucks, interestingly, were in the game, I believe, 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, against the Patriots. So, you know, interesting to see they would be back on that again. And, you know, I think teams see it as a marketing opportunity. Yeah. They see it as a possibility to reach out for their fans, even if they are potentially losing a home game. But, you know, the popularity of the game, they want to make it international. They want it to be what soccer is to the rest of the world. They want it to be what baseball is in some parts of the world.
So what's the time frame on a thing like that? Are they looking 50 years down the road to where football can be a big sport in England? Or is this something where they want to move a team eventually over there?
Yeah, I think more the former than the latter, probably. I mean, I suppose there could be look for a London franchise or something like that. I don't think you'd have a Tokyo Dragons team. I think that would be a little too tough to do. But I remember the words of Paul Tagliabue in his final address as commissioner. His final Super Bowl address, anyway. I remember him talking about wanting there to be a Yao Fling, you know, the Chinese quarterback. He wanted there to be that international superstar, Chinese born and bred, you know, Mexican born and bred, whatever. I mean, you know, somewhere a true international player making it in the NFL. And he really had this vision of that and the game becoming more global as a result. We saw what basketball has been able to do in Asia. And so I think there is a market there.
I know that's for money. I just don't like it. But let's switch to the draft. Eric Edholm, Pro Football Weekly, joining us. He is the expert at this stuff. Is Cam Newton really going to go this high and maybe go number one? Tell me no.
You know, our guy, Nolan Iraqi, who does a lot of our draft stuff, is saying that he's not going to be the first pick of the draft. If he is, that means the Panthers won't be choosing at that selection. I've suspected all along that Marty Herney, the general manager of the Panthers, has tried to create some buzz around Newton to let people know that, hey, we're taking him first, so if you mm-hmm. want him, you got to deal up to us, not to anybody else. So, if short of that, I suspect they like A.J. Green a lot. I think that's the guy that they're starting to kind of focus in on if they don't take Newton. So, be curious. I don't know if you can take a receiver number one. Last guy was Keyshawn, so it's a tough call.
Wow, that was the last. That's interesting.
96, yeah.
96. Well, and it's interesting because Blaine Gabbert's name, of course, was kind of down there in that 10 to 20, then all of a sudden, bam, he's number one, and now where's he falling right now?
You know, I was at his pro day, and full disclosure, I'm a Missouri guy, but, I mean, I've seen the best and the worst of Blaine over the years, and he's got phenomenal skill. I mean, he really has a very strong arm. Not Ryan Mallett strong, but just a notch below that. He can make all the throws. That's what's most important. He's athletic, but he's got to get out of that habit of collapsing when the blitz comes, when the rush comes. He tends to duck. He's got some bad habits I think a good quarterback coach will work with. But all that said, I have a hard time seeing him get out of the top five. I think if he gets to Arizona at five, they're going to take him. Again, with quarterbacks, it's so much of it is a projection, and so sure. They always get overdrafted. But if they play well, you never remember where they get picked.
Wrapping up with Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly. And Eric, it's kind of an unsexy draft. We're talking about Blaine Gabbert and Cam Newton. There's a lot of D linemen, a lot of big uglies this year. And one of those guys, we're talking about maybe 15 D linemen in the first round or something like that. But Corey Legit, an Illini guy, seems like he's really rising up the draft boards.
Yeah, he was banging those bags the day at the pro day. I mean, he really looked good. And quick upfield penetrator, you know, in the right defense, the right, you know, I think 4-3 scheme, although some teams say he can play a 3-4-2. But I think in a 4-3 scheme that, you know, slants its guys into the gaps, you know, really looks for those penetrator types, he can be really good. I think you start with him with the Rams at 14. That's kind of, unless I'm overlooking someone, I think that's probably where he begins. Okay. And I don't think he'll get out of the 20s. I mean, I think he'll absolutely go somewhere between 14 and about, you know, 22, 3, or 4, somewhere in that range. I believe that there's a mark for him, and it's legitimate. New York Giants are interested. The Rams have to be on that list. There's a few other teams that could really use that upfield penetrator.
And quick, what are you hearing about Mykal Ashour and Martez Wilson, the other line I expect to go in the first two rounds?
Yeah, there's been less buzz about Wilson since his pro day. I thought he looked a little stiff and a little clumsy in drills. He's obviously a great athlete. I just don't know where you play him. Is he a Mike linebacker or a 4-3? It's a tough call with him. I mean, athletics will get him drafted second, third round, I think, alone. But it's a weak linebacker class for the most part. As far as LeSure, I think he'll still be the second running back drafted. Would it stun me if he went ahead of Mark Ingram because of those knee injuries, you know, the knee questions? No, it wouldn't shock me. Hmm. He's got the size you want. I just wonder, those big splits in Illinois, a lot of that stuff was kind of created for him a little bit. I mean, he ran through the holes and he got the yards. You can't, you know, count him down, but I'm not sure if he's maybe even quite as good as Rashard Mendenhall.
Perfect. Eric Edholm, Pro Football Weekly, we thank you very much for joining us and for the insight.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, Eric, we appreciate that. Eric Edholm, Pro Football Weekly. Sounds like you can call him Ed.
I guess. Nickname,
right.
Huh?
So he went to Mizzou. Is that what he said?
Oh, Mizzou's got a great journalism school.
Yes, they do.
I mean, I know you're an SIU
guy. No, but I know. Mizzou and Syracuse, they all have great.
It seems like everybody's from Mizzou.
That's cool. Well, he was good. He's a great interview. He gets to the point. He answers the questions. Awesome. All right. What do we got next? We just have so much. It's like a potpourri.
Well, we're going to talk some women's gymnastics. We have Illini coach Kim Landris joining us. They're going to be at the NCAA. We'll talk that in the next hour for a couple minutes. But we're also going to have Devin Lankford, newest Illini signee at 5 o'clock today. But there's a lot at the Illini banquet that happened last night. We'll come back, talk about that. Give us a call, 359-CALL, 217-359-2255.
It's the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.